I was originally advertised to speak on the mission of Srila Prabhupada, something like that. Now the title got changed to be A Follower of Srila Prabhupada, but I decided to speak on whatever I want to speak on, as the mood takes me. And I was going to speak on something else, but as you just came into my room, I've only been there a few hours, but I already talk of it as my room. I thought, and you spoke something about revolutionary thoughts. So let's talk a little bit about that. Srila Prabhupada was a revolutionary. He certainly made a great change in the world. It's not recognized by many people. It should be that in future that will be recognized. Srila Prabhupada will be recognized as the greatest revolutionary, the greatest welfare worker, the greatest saint, the greatest benefactor, the greatest scholar, the greatest, of course, devotee in the history of the world. Ebe Josh Gushuk Tribhuvan. Now his glory should be proclaimed throughout the three worlds. Now, many of the things Srila Prabhupada spoke about were revolutionary, even in the conventional sense. Of course, Srila Prabhupada's revolution was a revolution of consciousness. That even if the world was going on in a relatively nice way, which it isn't, even relatively speaking, the world is really a mess. Compared to previously. It was a mess previously, but now it's a worse mess, and it's always getting worse, and that is predicted in the Bhagavatam. We can expect things to decline. Contrary to the theory of the materialists, that things are always getting better, we used to hear at school, at least in Britain. Oh, this is Britain, isn't it? Yeah, right. Okay. Sorry. We're just a few kilometers from the border here. Well, it's northern. It's part of the United Kingdom. So, that general idea was there, that things are getting better, that with science we'll discover more things. And I remember hearing at school that in future, everything will be done by machines, and the main problem will be what everyone will do in their leisure time. It'll be what will people do, because they'll have so much spare time. Funny how they miscalculated, huh? But the general idea is that everything's getting better and better. But the Bhagavatam version, or what Shukadeva Goswami tells us, is that everything's getting worse. Tatas chanu dinam dharma satyam socham kshama daya kalena balina rajan nangshantyayur balang smritihi. In Kali Yuga, with the passing of every single day, everything desirable decreases, beginning with dharma, which the term dharma has many meanings. In its intrinsic sense, or in the intrinsic meaning of the word, dharma never declines, but people's practice or adherence to, or faith in, or acceptance that there is even any dharma decreases day by day. Now that the scientists have discovered what they call the Higgs boson, they think that this is what holds the whole universe together. No, so that's adharma. What are the dharma is what holds the universe together, and the dharma is Vishnu. And adherence to dharma puts us on the path by which we can please Vishnu. So dharma declines day by day. Tatasthano dinam satyam, truthfulness. Nowadays, I say day by day that everything's declining. Well, that's cumulative. So you may not, it may not be from one day to the next you notice a big difference, but within a generation you notice a big difference. One generation ago, in general, I would say in the Western world, people expected politicians to be truthful. Whereas nowadays, you don't expect them to be truthful. Or it's unusual. Or it is... Well, they're not trustworthy. And that what the leaders do, yad-yad-acharati-sreshtas-tat-tad-eve-taro-janaha-sayat-pramanam-kurute-lokas-tad-anuvartate. What the leaders do, everyone else does. So cheating, lying, they're just part of normal life. Satyam-shocham, cleanliness. Internal cleanliness, that one should be pure in heart, no one thinks. No one has any idea of such a thing. What is it? External cleanliness, shocham, kshama, tolerance, ability to tolerate some disturbance. There are so many disturbances in the modern age, and by machines we want to try and make everything tolerable. That so when it's hot, which I don't think it ever is here in this particular location, then we have fans and air conditioners. When it's cold, we have heaters. But it used to be that people just tolerated. Now they don't tolerate, and there are so many machines to lighten the workload. And then what happens is that people, they become so weak that if there's any little disturbance, their body gets sick. And even if there isn't any little disturbance, they're just sick all the time because their bodies have no strength. The Spartan civilization, here's a little piece of slightly related historical anecdote. The Spartans, they were a soldier race from Sparta in now a part of Greece, that when the child was born, they just exposed them to the elements for a few days. And if they lived, they'd nourish them and maintain them. And if they didn't, well, they weren't fit to be a Spartan. They should be very strongly bodied. So, kshama, daya, mercy. The quality of mercy declines day by day. That's already largely absent in the case of the animals. Still today, people are they show some concern about. Some people show some concern about humans, but for animals, they don't care. Just how they're slaughtered, millions every day. And even you see the politicians are discussing what to do in Syria and Iran, but their main concern is not how much people are suffering, but how their own political interests will be served. And merciless. Anyway, I'm just giving a few examples because this is, you just said to me how we don't want to get too much into discussing all these things, but the Bhagavatam describes real life situations in this world, and we can see from the newspaper how the Bhagavatam is correct. I mean, even if the newspaper is slanted or lies, but we can see what is the condition of Kali Yuga. That's why one of my friends, or he always refers to the newspaper as the Kali Yuga Purana. It's the odd thing is, it's not Purana, it's fresh. Fresh every day. So Satyam Sadaya Kalena Balinar, by the mighty force of time, all these things, and lifespan decreases, bodily strength decreases. So we had some farm project we have there in South India. So speaking to local farmers, they say that, well, just one generation ago, the kind of work that people would normally do, they can't. The young people nowadays, they just can't do it. They're the sons and daughters of the same people who used to work so hard, but now they just can't do it. It's just one generation later. What happened? Well, there could be various factors there. The quality of food is going down, or whatever it may be. Nowadays, farmers who used to be the most active and people ready for physical work, at least in India, they're mostly all lazy because they've got everything's done by machine, and they don't want to do hard work anymore. And therefore they go to the city to get a factory job, and things decline. Smriti, memory, and other functions of the intelligence, going down. How many people could multiply in their minds 2,700 by 54? Might be a hard thing for those who are brought up using these little digital things. I mean, I'd have a hard time too, probably, but at least at school you're supposed to be able to do that kind of thing. You're trained to do that kind of thing, but I don't know nowadays. At least the other day, when just 2-3 days ago, there was some simple calculation to do, and the devotees with me just seemed like bewildered. So, these are just symptoms of Kali Yuga. So many people see that there is some need for a great change. We have to do something, and therefore there's Greenpeace and Amnesty International and what else? WikiLeaks and so on. Srila Prabhupada was ahead of the times of everyone. Before anyone else was talking about all these things, he said that this paper money is cheating. I know one godbrother, he told me he joined the movement when he heard Prabhupada lecture and saying the United Nations is just for cheating. That the big America is cheating all the small nations. And he said when he heard that, he joined the movement, because he said no one had such insight. No one could see or imagine such a thing, because people used to think that the United Nations, it's actually for the purpose, it's supposed to prevent wars. Yeah, try putting that up again. So Srila Prabhupada, he was not an armchair philosopher. He was definitely a philosopher. Nor was he simply talking in otherworldly terms. You know the term otherworldly? It means just like some mystic, and they have nothing to do with this world. They're just absorbed in transcendence. Just like the wife of William Blake said, well, I hardly know my husband. He's always in paradise. But Srila Prabhupada wasn't like that. When Srila Prabhupada came to Hyderabad one time, he arrived in Hyderabad, and a newspaper or a journalist approached him, and you can understand from the journalist's question the level of spiritual culture that was still there in India at that time, especially in South India. Hyderabad's in South India, Hyderabad, Deccan. The journalist asked Prabhupada, "Are you a Dvaitavadi or an Advaitavadi?" Nowadays, you won't get journalists asking you questions like that. If you say things like that, they may not even understand what you're talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? Dvaitavadi, Advaitavadi. Dvaitavadi means those who profess two-ness, and Advaitavadi means those who profess oneness. Shankaracharya is the overarching proponent of Advaitavada. In Gaudiya Vaishnava language, usually refers to as Mayavad. And Dvaitavad means those who accept two-ness, that there is Bhagavan, God, and there is everything else. So this Dvaitavad, Advaitavad has been the subject of philosophical contention in India for centuries. So the reporter asked Prabhupada, "Are you a Dvaitavadi or an Advaitavadi?" And Srila Prabhupada scoffed at the question. And he said, "This is not an important question." He said, "There's not been rain here for 2 years. The whole area is suffering from drought. What we need is rain." And Prabhupada quoted, "Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyadana sambhavaha." As Krishna says, quoting Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that all living beings subsist on food. And food is produced from rain. Yagya bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhavaha. So rain comes from yajna, and yajna comes from prescribed duties. So Srila Prabhupada said, "We have come here to perform sankirtan yajna. This is the practical solution." So Srila Prabhupada did. That came in the newspaper. It's a very bold thing for Prabhupada to say. Within 2 days, there was heavy rain of 2 days of Srila Prabhupada doing the sankirtan festival. So, a few years ago in Gujarat, there was heavy drought, and I suggested to all the devotees, "Let's advertise, we'll do Sankirtan Yajna." And they said, "What if it doesn't work?" They didn't have the same faith as Prabhupada. There were all these Mayavadis doing their so-called Yajnas all over the place. That didn't work. So Srila Prabhupada is a practical, and he had a practical revolutionary program. He knew that there were demons in the world, but he didn't. That first thing, Srila Prabhupada was ahead of everyone else in chronologically in understanding the problems of the world and how various demons are manipulating it. How the educational system is cheating people. Still, most of the people of the world haven't woken up to that. There are very few people who have woken up to that. Or even like the money system cheating others. Still, there's not that many people who understand all these things. So Srila Prabhupada understood all of this. He commented on this in his books. And he had a practical program for revolution, which wasn't to... His program wasn't so much to go on and on and on describing in detail the activities of the demons. Just like last night, you asked me to speak on the divine and demoniac natures. And I spoke a little bit about I mentioned Hitler and Monsanto and this and that. But I didn't get much into detail. I gave some examples. And at the end of the lectures, some of the people, they wanted to, you know, get into discussing in some more detail about all these things. But I said that, well, it's not really necessary. It's just that we can understand the principle, how people who are extremely influenced by, as Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, lust, greed, pride, envy, then they become callous and heartless in the exploitation of others. So Srila Prabhupada's solution was not to go into great detail looking for all the schemes of the demons and the conspiracies and all this kind of thing. There could be room for that also. It would make a very good book to for distribution to the public. The predictions for the age of quarrel. There's one lecture of Srila Prabhupada's that was edited and featured in the Back to Godhead. Predictions for the age of quarrel. So getting into that in some more detail, that would make a very good book for distribution. I always thought that. But it needs to be updated, I guess, every so often. But in general, among ourselves, it's not that we sit around and talk about this and that, what the demons are doing. But we should be aware. We should see the world through the eye of Shastra, as Srila Prabhupada did. He trained us. He trained his disciples like that. His disciples, you'll find, especially on morning walks, the devotees they'd go through all the news and magazines to find out all the most bizarre things and bring them to the attention of Srila Prabhupada to elicit Srila Prabhupada's comments on this. Just like nowadays the scientists say they want to make food out of oil. That was one of the things. Or now they say they want to make food out of stool and all kinds of things like this they would bring in to see what Prabhupada's response to that would be. Srila Prabhupada's revolution, again, it wasn't one of like blowing up, getting guns and all that. Of course, he said we could keep or should keep guns for protection on our farms. I think that wouldn't be legal here, would it? No? I don't know. You can keep a shotgun. It's not much, but it's something, isn't it? Might be a good idea. You never know. There must be a lot of spare guns after hanging around. Anyway. So, as it's a remote spot, anything can happen any time. So, at New Vrindavan, Prabhupada said to keep guns. I guess after the demise of the IRA, there's not that much gun culture around here, whereas in America there is. So many people feel they have to keep a gun, and I guess it makes sense. So, Srila Prabhupada, he didn't recommend that kind of revolution. When some devotees, actually they were members of a semi-splinter group, that followers of that Siddha Swarupananda, Sai, who originally called himself Sai. So they blew themselves up making a bomb, in the process of making a bomb which was supposed to blow up a slaughterhouse. And that came in the newspaper, that Hare Krishna devotees killed by a bomb and all this. And Prabhupada, he didn't approve of that. He didn't think that that was our process, even though the slaughterhouse is horrible. But blowing it up wouldn't stop the slaughtering. It would just mean that a few animals would... The process would be interrupted for some time, but the animals would still get slaughtered. Just like in America, there's the anti-abortion lobby. Some of their members, they blow up abortion clinics, or they attempt to do so. And Srila Prabhupada wasn't in favor of those techniques. His revolution was founded on distribution of his books, chanting the holy names of Krishna in public. These two activities, particularly revolutionary activities. Srila Prabhupada was confident that especially the distribution of his books would change the world. And it should happen at some point in time, by Krishna's mercy, that these millions of books that have been distributed, people will wake up to them. What's in those books? I would say to a large, or to a good extent, that's already happening in India, where Srila Prabhupada said that people are, they're not so much asleep. So my personal experience in India is that a major change in the religious or spiritual consciousness of the people has taken place over the last generation, which I attribute to the widespread distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. And it is a really major change. And that is that when I first came to India for staying and preaching, that was 1977, it was very difficult to speak about Krishna consciousness and personalism, because as soon as you, pretty much everywhere, the objection would come, no, it's all one and all the gods are the same and there's no actual personal Krishna and you don't know, you're not a Hindu and all this kind of thing. We are born Hindus, we know these things very well. It's very difficult. It's one of the many reasons that many of our devotees who went to stay in India in the West at that time just couldn't stay, even though Srila Prabhupada wanted them to do so much. But now the atmosphere is quite different. I mean, it's not that there aren't any Mayavadis left, but especially among younger people, they're quite open to hear that Mayavad is misleading and all nonsense, and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's a major change, isn't it? So that I attribute to the widespread distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. There are many signs that I remember seeing a photo of some prominent person being taken to jail in India, and it was quite visible in his hand that he was carrying with him Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Recently, means a little over a year ago, one of the most famous industrialists in India, he ordered, I think it was 1,000 sets of 1,000 Bhagavad Gitas, but he wanted them specially printed in a deluxe, in a super fancy edition. Him and his wife had this idea to give to their friends, and they asked the BBT to do it. And Bhima Prabhu, the BBT trustee there, he asked this Mrs. Ambani that, why this edition? She said, well, when you think of Bhagavad Gita, you think of Prabhupada's Gita. So it's definitely had a tremendous effect. And even though so many bogus gurus have come into prominence, they'll come and go, but the influence of Srila Prabhupada's books will stay. So these books are having their effect. Sometimes we hear, actually this is Manidhar Prabhu's seminar, but anyway, no harm. No harm for me to say also, right, about this. You're speaking about book distribution. Doesn't mean that I'm banned from speaking about it. So they're having their effect in the West also, although because the West is just not, there's no vestiges of Vedic culture whatsoever here, it may not be so prominent or visible. One thing that, well, I can say, a few years ago I was on a public bus going from Belfast, I guess it was, to Enniskillen. I was coming over here, and I saw a young man reading some book by this Hermann Hesse, which was, I don't know if it's still popular, but 40 years ago or so, Hermann Hesse was very popular. His books like, what, Steppenwolf and, is it Siddhartha? That was the only one I read of his, and I hated it because it was all impersonal rubbish. So I thought he had some spiritual interest, so I spoke a little bit and to him. And he said, among young people nowadays, they said, if it's anything spiritual, it's got to be Eastern. So maybe Hermann Hesse has had his influence too. but the wrong idea, impersonal ideas. Widely the concept of reincarnation is accepted. That I would put down mainly to the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books, because although others speak of it, they have no idea of it. Whereas in Srila Prabhupada's books, in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, it's clearly explained how it happens. Ukramantang sitangva api bunjanam vaguran vitam vimurha nanu pashanti pashanti jnana chakshushaha. Those with the eyes of knowledge, they can see how this process of transference from one body to another takes place. Fools cannot. So book distribution, that should be pumped on and on and on, along with going out on Harinam Sankirtan. There's some propaganda that people don't like this. Within our movement, it's such bogus propaganda that people don't like it. I mean, there might be one in a hundred or a thousand of people who really don't like it, but otherwise people do like it, right? Like yesterday at the airport, it's very positive. Everywhere, people, and people are so miserable, and they see people happy. Unless they're real demons who hate to see others happy, then they'll be happy to see others happy. And they can understand this is something spiritual, even though they may not understand exactly all about it. So these should go on. Now, Srila Prabhupada also... So these two activities, they're outreach. We go out to people and spread Krishna consciousness, bring the message of Krishna consciousness to others. Now, Srila Prabhupada also said that 50% of his work is not done in the Varnashram, and that is really revolutionary, that going to the land and growing your own food, it's so revolutionary. It doesn't seem like it's revolutionary. But growing your own food, and that you just cut out from this society. It's difficult to do because there are so many laws nowadays which work against that. But practically, if you live simply, and just grow what you need. Of course, you may have to grow a bit more because even in traditional culture, people need a little bit more than what they can produce on the land, because from time to time, you might need to get some new cooking pots, for instance, something like that. And then gifts, especially at weddings, and to give gifts and give the girl who's getting married some jewelry, so... you may need to produce a little more, but Vaishyas, they have the productive nature that they like to produce and then distribute. That is the nature of Vaishya. Whereas in the modern age, Vaishya means they like to squeeze out of others. But a pious Vaishya means he produces and he distributes, not that he just accumulates for himself. So the whole modern society is working on the accumulation principle. Work hard, buy things. You need a cell phone. You need a motor car. You need a computer. You don't need any of these things. You need electricity. You don't need any of these things. So those who can go and live on the land, they are making a revolution, by at least in their own lives. And as that increases, it will become an actual social revolution. And it at some point, it can undermine the whole modern way of life, which requires people to be part of the worker-consumer system. Now, of course, living on the land in itself is it's socially it's revolutionary, but of course it doesn't serve any real purpose unless there's chanting of Hare Krishna. So the real revolution is one of consciousness. But when one's consciousness is raised, then one's material needs decrease. So it should be natural for devotees to be happy to live with little and not desire more and more things which are of no actual use to them. Of course, living in modern society, preaching in modern society, we also utilize computers, phones, airplanes, and all these kind of things. But Srila Prabhupada's blueprint for the mass of devotees, and that not everyone's going to be running around all over the place preaching here and there, but many, many people can come and take to Krishna consciousness and live simply in communities. So this is actually revolutionary. If we can do this, organize it, or even unorganized, individuals can just go live on the land. And that's very good advice. In a world in which the whole economic and political and social system, it's all so precarious, it's very good advice to get a little land and grow your own food a long way away from any city. Because if and when the cities collapse, which they could do at any time, and are likely to do at some point, and they're very unsafe anyway, it won't make any difference. If the euro collapses, which they're talking about, if you're growing your own food, which these demons won't allow you to do practically, but if you can find some corner hidden in between some mountains, they've got you chalked out. But then you won't be affected, because if you have your land and you're producing food, then you've got what you need, right? You're not dependent on supplies being brought in. If the supply chain stops, then you're in trouble. And if you're close to a city, you're in trouble too. If you're a long way away, and then you're a long way away from the degrading influence of that also. So I'm told that in America there are many young people who are doing this, materially qualified people with the opportunity to get good jobs. Young people are just thinking, hey, we don't want to be part of this. And they're moving to the land, the vast lands in America. It's already going on. The devotees should be leading all this, because we have the highest knowledge. And even if you move to the land, simply to move to the land doesn't satisfy the soul. Only Krishna consciousness can. Another aspect of Srila Prabhupada's revolution, there are so many aspects. These Srila Prabhupada emphasized very much. Book distribution, Harinam, and the other 50%, Varnashram. Srila Prabhupada also recognized that ideas have consequences. There's a book which was published a few years called Ideas Have Consequences. that because people are trained to think that, for instance, because people are trained to think that life arises from matter, that if they do believe in God, they're trained to believe in some frightful person who, if you don't get it right, he burns you in hell forever. They're trained to think that they are dependent on the whole present setup, on the money system. So Srila Prabhupada, another important program, or two programs for or undermining the whole faith system, which goes on as a knowledge system. One was to the Bhaktivedanta Institute for preaching to intellectuals, people who influence others, and changing their way of thinking so they can understand truth actually as it is, as described in Shastra. And another was the Gurukul, to train boys specifically from the beginning in the science of the Absolute Truth so that they could become preachers of Krishna consciousness in future, so they become expert in understanding the Bhagavad philosophy, and they can go anywhere and preach the principles of that to others. So these are the principles of Srila Prabhupada's revolution. Now, if we analyze in the short history of ISKCON, many things have gone wrong. Still, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even if things go much worse than they have in our society, Krishna will still be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada, his empowered representative. So we can all take part in the revolution of Krishna consciousness, starting with ourselves, the revolution of consciousness in our own minds. It begins with ourselves. Srila Prabhupada in one purport requested, he stated, I'm paraphrasing, that one pure devotee can deliver the whole universe. We therefore request all the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to become pure devotees so that they can deliver others. So it begins with ourselves. If we want to be pure devotees, as Krishna wants us to be, as Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be, we may think, well, that's a long way away, we're so fallen and everything, but at least that attitude that we simply want to serve Srila Prabhupada and Krishna without any personal motive, without any changing the message or changing the philosophy, and just focus that on the point that we are eternal servants of Krishna and we are meant to serve him without any personal motive. So that is the pure devotional attitude, that if someone has that, then they become different to everyone else and they are given potency from Krishna to influence others. So it starts with ourselves and we can spread that to others on a small scale, on a wide scale. Everything begins on a small scale. If we try to do big things without having the small things in place, it doesn't work. Srila Prabhupada started off in a storefront in New York, and he spent time and trained the newcomers. Then he went on like this. So they're training, bringing people in, training them. Nowadays, as in 1966, newcomers, they come, if we go out to the world, to propagate Krishna consciousness. And then if they come, they'll come, and some will stay and become convinced if we put time and energy into convincing them. And it's just not automatic that people come and they just take up Krishna consciousness. Gallons of blood, Srila Prabhupada said. We spread gallons of blood to bring one person to Krishna consciousness. So it takes a lot of sacrifice and effort and on our parts. We may put gallons of blood into a person, and they, after some time, they just fade away and they don't show any more interest. That's the preacher's burden to do that. But unless we're prepared to do that, then we can't expect people to commit themselves to Krishna consciousness and take up the mission of Krishna consciousness unless we are prepared to put our energy into, and just like parents, traditionally, I don't know in the modern time, but they would give so much energy to bring up their children and really give themselves. So that's required. It's just not automatic that people come and you give them a beginner's guide to Krishna consciousness and that's your job done. But how much preaching is required as they try to understand this philosophy, and they have so many misconceptions and attachments, and they don't know what to do, they have to be shown what to do. It's easier not to show them what to do, and then all standards go down, and then there's no real Krishna consciousness if there are no proper standards. Just like, for instance, there was a time in our movement when the initiated devotees wouldn't imagine to come in the temple room wearing kami clothes. Times have changed. I think it's better round the other way. Out of respect for Krishna. So, that's just an example. How, well, you know, it's easy, we don't bother, this, that. Krishna understands, and that can go for everything. And then standards go down, and the whole idea that everything that we're doing, we're taking the effort to please Krishna, that becomes gradually lost in the take it easy approach. But then, if we take it easy and we water things down and say, well, it's easier for people to come to Krishna consciousness, but people who want to revolutionize their lives, who want to aspire for the ideal of Krishna consciousness, they won't aspire for it if there's no ideal set. People who are really going to commit themselves to this movement and carry the revolution forward are those who are seeking an ideal, who want something better than the mediocrity offered by the present society. So there are just a few thoughts. So much more could be said, but just a few thoughts for now. Much more could be said, as I say. So I guess I could take discussion for a few minutes about this. Anyone want to say anything? Yes, please.
Maharaj, tying in what you said now with some of your recent lectures about your concerns for ISKCON.
Tying in what I said now with some of my recent lectures about concerns for ISKCON, yeah.
And the conclusion that you came to, that you said, you know, even though there is many ways in which things are being emphasized, which is changing the direction which Srila Prabhupada set for ISKCON.
Mm.
But at the end you concluded that you didn't want to leave ISKCON. You still want to work within the institution. And I think it's very inspiring to hear that, because ultimately, you know, we know that it's Srila Prabhupada's movement. So even in the past, so many things have gone on. And kind of some things have, like the record sales and things like that, which don't go on anymore.
Mm.
For instance, in Ireland now we have devotee student book distribution, you know. The days of Brahmacharya has been sent out with a roll of paintings or records, that's gone.
Mm.
So it's good to know that you're going to, that, you know, that you're going to stay in ISKCON and, you know, try to heal it from inside rather than going outside.
Mm.
And time will tell that at different times, you know, different personalities have been more prominent in ISKCON. Like when I joined, you know, Harry Cage was the big man and everybody wanted to be his disciple, you know.
Mm.
Things have changed, you know, 15 years later.
He changed.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and in the 80s it was Bhagavan, and so...
Yeah, he was saying all the right things and that inspired people.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he couldn't hold it together.
So, I feel that in the future, a lot more devotees and leaders may appreciate your input.
It may be. A disciple of mine, a young devotee in America, wrote me that many devotees in America are appreciating what I'm saying. He said, especially Prabhupada disciples and senior devotees. That was alarming to me. Because it makes me think that the next generation, like in the Dzongla Acharya era, there was a lot of competition for prestige and position among the different Dzongla Acharyas, but more or less they spoke the same philosophy that Prabhupada spoke. But in the next generation, I'm not so sure that they understand what Prabhupada's mission is. Many of them may not understand very clearly, but after they've been through some educational process, which are different modules from the Karma universities and this and that. But Prabhupada's books are there, and they're clear for the... I spoke about that also, how devotees, they understand Prabhupada's books through the people who introduce them to Krishna consciousness. And therefore, those who are introduced to Krishna consciousness through Ritvik Vad, they think, although there's nothing in Prabhupada's books to even suggest that, but they think that's the way. Or there are many who think that they're trained from the beginning to say that, well, Prabhupada said heavy things, but we should not say them under any circumstance, and they think that's right, and they're doing something wrong if you repeat what's in Shastra. That's my next book coming up about that. Specifically on that topic, on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service. Should be out in a few days. It's supposed to be out last year. It takes a long time to make these books. So that is my concern. But satyam eva jayate, nanritam. Truth will triumph, but it's not easy. It's a struggle.
I think it's a test of kind of virtue, a test of, you know, staying in ISKCON is a humbling thing, but that's what we want, you know. I had an experience with that. We work in the market selling prasadam, and one lady that we know, she said, like, you know, I had a difficult day, I had a hard day, and I said to her, chant, why don't you chant Hare Krishna? And she started chanting. You know?
Mm.
I was thinking, we were joking, we were saying, what do you expect? If you ask a Hare Krishna person, well, what are they going to say? They're going to say chant Hare Krishna.
Mm.
So in the same way, you know, if you stay within ISKCON, you have to be prepared to accept, you know, it's, we're here to be purified, you know, it's a humbling thing, but that's what we want ultimately. So, you know, it's like you say, it's easy to fall off a ladder, it's difficult to climb up it.
The rungs of the ladder should be strong, and the ladder should be placed in the right place so that we're going up to the right, to the right destination. there's big topics for discussion, but I may not discuss them more now because I have done at length and it's all out there on the internet like that. But just as you brought up that point that, like, we don't want to spend all our lives talking about conspiracy theories, and but what is the revelation? What are the methods that Srila... I thought I'd just discuss that a little bit more. And it's nothing new for any of you, no doubt, but it's good for us to hear. Simply promoting vegetarianism, that's not going to change the world. Simply smiling and being nice, that's not going to change the world. Simply talking vaguely about love, peace, tolerance, truth, that's not going to change the world. Speaking and living according to the truth, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are all His servants, that will have the effect. And of course, there are many other details to go with that. So, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Two very good mantras. Hare Krishna and Jai Srila Prabhupada. Always good. Hare Krishna!